are back, and our guest is Vincent Bruno. And, of course, you can call in at 800-313-9443 with questions, and keep them on topic, because that's what, well, yeah, keep them on topic. So anyway, as I was saying, if you say something negative, you're going to get called on the carpet, and it's not going to be, you know, they say, okay, we're going to excommunicate you or disfellowship you or whatever. So it's just a very interesting situation. And as I learned Mormonism from my grandmother, and of course my grandmother would never tell me anything that was false. Her parents came over from Denmark. They had been proselyted there. They left Denmark and came over. And my grandmother was just a delightful, wonderful, wonderful person. Very artistic, I just loved her. She was just a wonderful, wonderful person. And so I just accepted. And then, because I like to investigate things, I taught seminary quite a long time, 5 years, which is a class. It's an early morning class, starts at 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock for children, young adults who are in high school. And it's early morning, Monday through Friday. And we'd go through the scriptures. We would go through the Old Testament, the New Testament, Book of Mormon, and then the Doctrine and Covenants. And as I would be reading in the Old Testament, I thought, "Whoo! This is awful." And of course, a lot of people think that the Old Testament is the singular book for the Jewish religion, which it isn't.
No,
it's the Talmud, which is, excuse me, it's an ongoing. They're still writing it. And anyway, I thought, well, okay, so it says here that you can go in and you can assault a city, you can kill all the men, and you can take the women and children as sex slaves. I'm thinking, I don't think this is right. It really got me to thinking. And then in the Book of Mormon, it talks about how great Christopher Columbus was. And my study of Christopher Columbus was that he was a mass murderer. He left Portugal, Spain, the day before they kicked all the Jewish people out of the country. They've been kicked out of a lot of countries. And so he left at that day. The next morning he left. And so when he was very familiar with the Madeira sugar plantations and whatnot. And he arrived in what is now the Dominican Republic in Haiti. And within a few short years, the natives were slaughtered, and some of the ways that they worked them, but they also roasted them on spits, and they let big dogs tear their flesh, and all this other stuff. And I'm thinking, here the Book of Mormon is saying what a great man he was. He was a piece of garbage who was slaughtering children and women, and a whole generation of people. He reduced the population in 8 short years to, I don't have the figures in front of me, but so I thought, this book is not what I thought it was. And so I just began to study, and I lost interest. I lost faith in what I had faith in. But the first time that I that I went to another meeting outside of a Sunday meeting, I thought, as I said before, I thought, gosh, this is totally different than what I learned on Sunday. And the dogma is different. Everything is different. And why do I have to wear this stuff? And why do I have to make pledges? And why do I have to do certain handshakes? What the heck is going on? But everybody was really happy. And I thought, well, if everybody else is really happy and thinking it's okay, then it must be okay. I was very young at that time. And, yeah, it was pretty, it was an involvement, definitely.
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of people have lots to say about these types of, you know, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, Christian Science. A lot of people have the same type of complaints. And there's obviously kind of like an element of social coercion there,
right.
You know, a cult-likeness to it. And I think that part of that, you know, goes back to their foundations, you know, and that what influenced them and the type of spiritual ties that they have. I think that people sense that, and they will always have that element to them, that element of type of control and trying to get you thinking in a certain direction. And my theory is that at least partially one of the things was to kind of prepare you. So what I've heard is that because Jehovah's Witnesses reject the Trinity, they are now considered Noahides. Do you know, oh God, what is his name? He's really famous. Let me just look him up really quick. He's always doing YouTube. I'm sure you've heard of him. What is his name? Give me 1 second. Let me just look him up. Tobias Singer. Do you know who Tobias Singer is?
No, I don't.
Tobias Singer does a lot of interfaith dialogue between Christians and Jews. He is more critical of Christianity than a lot of Jews will be openly, but he has said that Jehovah's Witnesses are at least closer to the Noahide because they reject the Trinity. And what's interesting about Jehovah's Witnesses is that they claim that what's going to happen is that the beast system is going to rise up, and it's going to start, there, according to their prophecy, it's going to rise up and it's going to start banning religion. And they're going to say that there can't be any more religion on earth. And they say that the Jehovah's Witnesses, because of their non-involvement, they're not political, they don't vote, you know, they separate themselves from the system, that they are going to be the very last religion that is attacked. And that would make sense if the idea is, you know, you're slowly Noahidizing everyone. You know, there's a period where, you know, they're not ready to leave Christianity, but get them off the Trinity. Now it's get them into the Old Testament, get them off the Trinity. You know, maybe the older system would make them Jehovah's Witness, make them Mormon, make them Christian Science. But then eventually, what the plan would be is to get rid of all that totally and just have it rabbinical controlled from Jerusalem, Noahidism. And but they seem to be self-aware of that, you know, that they're going to be allowed to exist until the end. Other religions are going to get persecuted more. Trinitarian Christians would be persecuted more. The Jehovah's Witnesses probably would be left to last where it's, see, what they're like with Islam, there is an Islam, they're telling them that Islam is not idolatry, but still, when you go deeper into it, a lot of Islam, it's not 100% kosher. What they're just going in and they're telling you, you're fine for now until they have enough power to get rid of you. And don't forget, a lot of that has to do with these conversions, that you go in and you get the Christian church thinking everything's okay. You slowly get people converting over and over, and Noahides, more and more and more and more Noahides. And then you have all the help that they're getting from these large entities you know, and then it's basically a frog not knowing that it's in boiling water until it's too late type of thing.
How true. It's also very interesting, and you brought this up, that that Joseph Smith did send somebody over to Israel in 1846 to dedicate the land for the return of the Jews. And then the Mormon Church also beautified Jerusalem. They spent millions of dollars beautifying the city, and they now have a center, the BYU Center, on top of the Mount of Olives, and they are renting the land because the land is still it was won, quote unquote, won during warfare, and so they couldn't sell the land. But it's interesting that I was there in 1999. On a Mormon tour, and we went to the temple store, and we went all over, and we were told, whatever you do, by the tour guide, whatever you do, don't try to proselyte, just don't go there at all. And I'm thinking, that's weird. Here we've given, I didn't realize at the time that we had built up Jerusalem financially, millions of dollars, and the center was there, the BYU Center was there, but I had no idea. I had no idea, but I didn't.
Right, they didn't want you preaching to the Jews, right?
Right, absolutely.
Right.
No.
Now this is like, that's another big thing that's going on around this, where the Jews can be Jews; they don't need to be converted. They're fine the way that they are, everyone else, and you'll see that a lot in this Noahization, where it's like, well, the Jews are off, you're not supposed to convert them. You know, a lot of these churches that are signing on to this Noahite, and the Catholic Church, and I guess, like you said, the Mormons, they have these pacts with the Jews that they're not going to try to bring
right.
them over.
Right.
You know, they're not going to try to bring them over. And, you know, that has a lot to do with the religious engineering.
Sure. We do have some callers lined up.
Oh, sure.
Okay, let's take Andrea in Oklahoma. Yes, Andrea?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes, hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. Back in 2013, you had a Dr. Day on.
Oh, yes, Lorraine Day.
Yes, and she brought up this topic, and you brought her back for 3 hours, and she talked about this topic, which set my hair on fire. Supposedly, this law was passed in during the, I think, the
George
second
H.W.
Bush, and not the first Bush.
George H.W. Bush is the one that signed the papers, if you visit my website, I have a button. It says Noahide Laws, and you can read the document. You can read about her husband's experience in the, because he was in Congress at the time.
Yeah, it was passed by it was made by three people on Christmas Day or something, and they were the only ones there that came up with this law, and then it was signed in by the Bush. Which one? Who cares? They were both
George H. W.
Well, it was the thing is that the most famous law is the 102-14, which was signed by George H. W. Bush. But similar laws were signed by Reagan and
right.
Also what's his name, Clinton. Very similar
right.
laws were also, and it was four Congress people that stayed behind. Dr. Lorraine Day's husband is Bill Dannenmeyer, and what happened was that he, let me just find out where Noah, what happened was in his letter, he said that Congress was told that everyone would go home for the day and that there would be no more voting. So everyone went home, but only four people stayed behind, and those were Ben Gilman, Tom Ridge, Rob Michael, and Tom Sawyer. These four congressmen stayed behind, and they voted on Public Law 102-14 to have these statements recognized by the government. But that wasn't the first law. That's only the most famous law. And there's other proclamations as well that were also need to be repealed.
Well, I've called from time to time and talked to my representatives and named the law and the information about it, and they all seem like they're shocked. And they don't do anything about it. It's like, you know, as a representative, I expect my Congress critters to do something about things and appeal something that is so disgusting and awful, and it doesn't need to even be there.
Yeah.
I don't know that all Jewish people think this way. I really don't think they do. I think they're most of them are kind, but evidently there's some people that want power and they want total power. But there's so much, you know, even with the Masons, when they finally get up to the 33rd degree, they find out that they're worshiping Satan. And it's all throughout Hollywood that they can't, entertainers can't perform. And who owns Hollywood is a lot of very rich Jewish people. And who owns the media is very rich Jewish people. And it seems as though they create, I mean, either you follow their laws or you don't perform. If you're a singer or an actor, you're not going to be working unless you sign your soul over to Satan. And there's been a lot of stars that have come forward and said that. They usually have all these tattoos of the shush, or they have one eye covered, and they all show the sign. But it's like all this is set because of Satan. And here in Oklahoma, they built a statue that was 14 feet high of Satan that was going to go on our Capitol grounds. They have Moloch on the Vatican where you sacrifice your babies. They have that on the Vatican ground. It's a big bull. It's showing up everywhere, and it's all about Satan. We did not let Satan here. I went and talked to my representatives, and they said, well, not on their watch. And so where did it go? It went to Detroit. And I mentioned that at church, and there was a girl that came up to me later and said, yes, it was, but Detroit didn't keep it. So where it went from there, I guess I haven't searched for it, but it's just, I couldn't believe anybody would make a 14-foot statue of Satan sitting on a throne, and there's a little girl on one side and a little boy on the other side. So, you know, all this is setting up, if they do things very slowly, and they, I mean, Deanna was aware of all, at the Super Bowl, they make sacrifices the night before, and they have this ceremony where they're crossing the bridge, and everybody that's watching is supposedly being, you know, brought in, and they don't know it while they're watching the Super Bowl, but it's at halftime. All these weird things are happening, and it's just, we don't know it until we know it.
Well, just before we go to the next person, to just conclude on what you said about them bringing that Satan thing there, I know it's interesting. One of the theories that I heard is people are saying, well, if that the Jews want these type of Old Testament-sounding laws, why do they keep trying to get the Ten Commandments removed from the courthouses? Now, a lot of that could just secular Jews, that's what they believe in. But the other thing is that they believe the Ten Commandments are for the Jews. The Seven Commandments are for us. The Old Testament is not for us. The Old Testament is for the Jews. That was given to them at Sinai. But Noah, who is the father of everyone according to them, were given these seven Noahide laws, and that's why that's what they want in the courthouses. You know what I mean? But because we're not supposed to follow those laws. The Jews have their own laws. It's a separate law for them.
We're going to a break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest is Vincent Bruno. His websites are StopNoahideLaw.blogspot.com and StopNoahideLaw.com. When Andrea was talking, I thought about the phallic symbol at the Vatican. And, of course, you can see these phallic symbols in Washington. And you have to ask, what is that for? What is that? Okay. We have Chance in West Virginia.
Hello, Deanna. Hello, Mr. Bruno. Mr. Bruno, I have to applaud you. You hit the nail right on the head. I researched all these sects, or cults, if you want to call them, a long time ago. And let me tell you, the most powerful families and bloodlines were trying to destroy Christianity for the longest time. Right now, they already conquered the lukewarm, brainwashed, mainstream, organized religions. You know, they moved into spirits. These were powerful names, these powerful families, like the Bakers, for instance. Mary Baker Eddy, most people don't realize that the Baker family was a very powerful family up there with the Collinses, the Russells. And they moved in the 19th century. They moved into spiritualism. So what these powerful families have been doing was setting up these sects and cults for the weak-minded. You know, Christian Science, like you mentioned, that was a front for witchcraft from the very beginning. Did you know, Mr. Bruno, that Nancy Astor was a big supporter of Christian Science and socialism. That's just the Astor family, mind you.
If you go into discussions about Christian Science, Jehovah's Witness, and Mormonism, you're always going to run into witchcraft. You're always going to get into those things, just like you're going to get into Freemasonry, because a lot of Freemasonry is the combination, like it's very Kabbalistic, it's the combination, it's Jewish mysticism, but modern Jewish mysticism has a lot of paganism in it, and has a lot
of
witchcraft.
Yes, it does.
So because they are so influenced by Freemasonry, you're going to find witchcraft elements inside those religions.
Yep, and you know, the Christian Science Monitor ties in with the occult system. See, this is how, what they did over the years, the powerful families, what they did was weaken organized religion to a point where good people got sick of organized religion. They seen it was being watered down. So they set up all these cults like Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Christians, even Scientology. Because people got dissatisfied with organized religions because they infiltrated it and watered it down. So good folks joined these cults really not knowing what they were getting into. This is the hatred they have for Christianity. And here's another thing. Did you ever hear of a guy named Joseph Harsh, Mr. Bruno?
No.
Let me tell you who he was. He was the editor of the Christian Science Monitor. He belonged to the CFR, and he also belonged to the Pilgrim Society. Are
okay.
you aware of the Pilgrim?
Let Vincent respond to your... Ask Vincent a question.
Yes.
Well, he was telling me about this Harsh. What is your question? What, Mr. Who?
Well, this man, Joseph Harsh, he was the editor of the Christian Science Monitor. He belonged to the CFR, and he also belonged to the Pilgrim Society. You're aware of the Pilgrim Society, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
It's a one-world order. It's similar to the Bohemian Grove. It's one of those skull and bones organizations. They believe in globalism and one-world order. Now, this is the editor of the Christian Science
Monitor. Do you have a question for...
Well, the question is this. People should realize that all these sects and cults are occultic and are based and steeped in witchcraft.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, if Mr. Bruno agrees with that, I'm sure he does. Correct, Mr. Bruno?
Yeah, to a certain degree, I think that there's definitely a lot of problems. It's definitely, when you read, I have lots of quotes up on the blogspot.com, stopnoahidelaw.blogspot.com, in the Freemason section that talk about how Judaism is Freemasonry and Freemasonry is Judaism, and how without all the rites and rituals of Judaism, now this is an Old Testament Judaism, this is Babylonian Talmud Kabbalistic Judaism, that a lot of those rites and rituals have been infused, and we know that the Kabbalah has a lot of European witchcraft in it, for sure. So... I agree with that kind of stuff.
Exactly. And the Kabbalah, Freemasonry, it's all tied into those cults I've mentioned, those sects. And that's just the way they set it up for that particular reason. Okay, thank you for taking my call now.
Okay,
thank you.
Yes. All righty, let's talk with Charles in Florida. And could you increase your volume?
How you doing this evening, Deanna?
And you?
Yeah, I'm fine. I hope I'm not off topic, but I wanted to point out that the name of the law that was passed that pushes the idea of the Noahide laws is National Law Day. I think
Education
that was signed
Day.
By Bush.
Yeah, Education and Sharing Day, USA.
Yes, National Education Day.
Oh, it was National Education Day? I'm wrong. Okay.
It's very important that you brought it up. It's called National Education and Sharing Day because they talk a lot about education, using education, but then they define Noahide law as part of education. You know, that's how they're getting it in. And Rabbi Schneerson, who is the one who is really behind this, not the only one, but who's really behind it, stressed a lot using education, because what he said, if you can apply these Noah Hyde laws through force, do it. If you can't, do it through pleasantry and kindness. So they can't force it on us yet. They're working on that, but they can't do it yet. So now they're trying to subvert what it means to educate someone and what morality is. And so they use this word education a lot. And actually, we talked about the United Nations and that Rabbi Cohen, the Institute for Noahide Code, he said, somebody asked him, they said, how did you get that law passed if there's separation of church and state? And he said that they, because they submitted it as education, not religion. They said that Noahide law is education, and that's how they got it in, without raising any alarm.
Do you know that the Noahide back to Rabbi Maimonides. Maimonides was encouraging. I was reading a newsletter of Mike Hoffman II, and on how Maimonides was even talking about it in the Middle Ages, the Noahide laws. And
it
goes way back. Are you aware that the very ideas of the Royal Institute of International Affairs and UN and all that were also based on the return to Israel and British Israel?
Let Vincent answer your questions. Yes?
John Ruskin is the one at Oxford University that really started the Rhodes Milner Royal Institute of International Affairs, CFR, all that was started in before
the
Civil War.
Do you have a question for Vincent?
Yeah, but I'm talking about the Zionism, all that was all, and the idea of the United Nations was already, Ruskin was talking about the United Nations for...
Do you have a question for Vincent?
Well, it's not a question. No, it's just stating.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling. I really appreciate that. I'll keep that in
mind. Yeah, well,
thank you. All righty. Let's take Ken in New York.
Good evening, Deanna, Mr. Bruno. I have a question. Are you familiar with any rituals in the Masonic order that have to do with possibly something to do with high anxiety, putting the initiate in a state of high anxiety, or actually leading to a sacrifice? And I'm not, and I have a point to this.
Not that I'm aware of. I know that Noahide is part of their oaths. I'm not sure if that has anything to do with any kind of trauma-based, I'm not sure about that connection.
Okay, and the point is that I'm on Long Island, and somewhere around 2008, it should still be on the internet, I'm surprised it hasn't been scrubbed, but there was there's a place called Patchogue, New York, P-A-T-C-H-O-G-U-E, New York. And there was a Masonic temple, a small one, about a block behind the main thoroughfare. And an initiate was shot in this so-called ritual. And the person that did the shooting was a 76-year-old man, and he was never prosecuted for it. And the Masonic temple was allowed to stand for another 5 years, and then they covered it up with particle board, surrounded it, and I think they took it apart piece by piece and moved it, and a few years ago they finally built a new building on its property. The man's name that did the shooting, he said he didn't know there was a bullet in the gun, and the idea was to put the initiate in a state of high anxiety, and he put the gun up to his head. He had two pistols, and one of them had a bullet in it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know that they, I mean, I'm sure that they're involved in all kinds of stuff like that. I mean, I'm sure that there's, I don't know that
it is on the internet.
Okay, well, Well, thank you for that.
All right. Well, thank you anyway.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Ken. Okay, do you want to respond to some of the comments that were made?
Well, I'm not an expert on Freemasonry, so I don't know a lot about the rituals, and I don't know much. What I focus on is this connection to Noahidism, and I know that that is very interconnected with each other, and that they are definitely that the Freemasons are working for Noahide aims. That's basically what I can tell you about Freemasonry. But as for, I'm not an expert in Freemasonry. I don't really know more than that.
Now, Freemasonry does have punishments for divulging certain pledges that you make in.
Isn't that how the anti-Mason party got started? There was a Freemason who left. He started criticizing him, and then he was found dead.
Yes, I think so. Yes.
The anti-Mason party, and then it started because you know. People said that the Freemasons were, you know, they would kill you if you revealed their secrets, and that they were, you know, this dark society, which they are. If you get high enough, it gets deadly.
Right.
And yes. They're very quiet. They're very quiet. The Freemasons are very quiet about this Noahide thing. I think that you're going to find that not tons of them, especially the higher levels, are going to come out against it, and I think that they're going to play the game that the Jews do, where, you know, when it comes to criticism of it, you're not going to really hear them talk. You're not going to hear many responses. But, you know, like, you know, when it comes to making it look like something good, you know, because they try to make this seem all very moral, upright, and something that, you know, seems good, and it's about peace, it's about bringing world peace, it's about uniting religions all under one, about making us one brotherhood. And they play a lot of that kind of game. So I'm sure that the Freemasons are involved in whitewashing all of this.
Yeah, could you maybe address, if you would like to, Donald Trump, his daughter, and his son-in-law in their involvement and or dedication to...
Definitely. I have a whole section on my website called Trump. And I have a few articles there. First of all, Trump's daughter, so we've been talking about that Rabbi Schneerson. There's an organization, a Jewish organization called Chabad Lubavitch, and they are fanatical, radical Noahidists. They are the ones who are behind getting all of these laws passed and these proclamations passed and spreading the Noahide laws and running Noahide conversion websites, and their leader is Rabbi Schneerson. Now, Jared Kushner is a member of Chabad Lubavitch, this very fanatical, radical Noahidist sect. So when Ivanka Trump married him, she had to convert. And so she is also a member of that very radical sect. And on the eve, or right before her father's election, she went to go pray at Rabbi Schneerson's grave for her father. So there's definitely a member of that sect in the family. Now, whether he heard it or not, over in Israel, there is this growing Sanhedrin. I mean, maybe some of your listeners know what a Sanhedrin is. It is the highest authority of the Jewish religion, of course. And there is no Sanhedrin at this time. There doesn't need to be a Sanhedrin for Noahide law to be implemented, though. So some people will tell you some Jews will say that the Noahide laws can't come into existence now because there is no Sanhedrin. Rabbi Schneerson put that in his place, and he is the one who is said to be the leader of world Jewry. The Sanhedrin has asked Donald Trump in an official proclamation to uphold the Noahide laws. And on the day of the election, the Israeli National News published an article where basically they said that President Trump, embodies the Noahide laws and is basically the most Noahide candidate. So there's definitely a connection between the Trump family and the Noahide laws, yes.
Right. Now, Jared Kushner, Kushner's father, financed are built, a lot of the settlements, the new settlements in Palestine, and they're very, very friendly with Netanyahu. And in fact, when Netanyahu used to come to the United States, he would stay with the Kushner family. And then, of course, Trump, all the presidents, you will find, and you have it on your website, you will find that all of the presidents go to the wall, they put on a yarmulke, they go to the wall and put a piece of paper in the wall. What do you think is going on? I know it's, who knows what to think, what is going on, right? But with this so-called selection between Biden and Trump, is Biden more warlike? Is that why they've selected him? Or what are your opinions?
Well, I think that anyone who is in office is going to be influenced by the Noahide agenda. I think that every year we sign this proclamation praising Rabbi Schneerson, and I think that those same statements about the Noahide laws are attached to it. So every year our president kind of like signs off on these ideas, and I'm sure Biden will be doing the same exact thing. I think that this has so much power behind it that it doesn't matter if it's Trump or Biden, that whoever is in charge is going to be doing the Noahide bidding. Trump was a hard nut, I think, for the Jews because he was very pro-Israel. He moved Jerusalem, but he wasn't really into war, right? And he didn't seem to, want to expand the war over there. And Biden does seem to be more on level with, though now Israel wants him to bomb Iran, right? Isn't that what's going on now? And I don't know. I guess this is really a test of his loyalty because we don't know if he's going out or in yet. But I think that I think that would be absolutely horrible if he just, on his way out of office, he just dropped a bunch of bombs in Iran and left us with a war. You know what I mean? I think that would be a real test to whose side he's really on, who he's really working for. And maybe he's hoping that they have some way in helping him with this. And maybe he's saying, if you get me into the presidency, I'll bomb Iran. Maybe that's what he's saying. I don't know. I think that a Biden would be a little bit less interested in bombing Iran, but who knows?
Right. He was very instrumental in getting the United States in to bomb Iraq. And I'm talking about Biden. He was in charge of the Senate committee that was talking about warfare, and he changed people's votes. He was a warmongering person who has always been, he's a warmonger, a very greedy warmonger. And of course, all of these people in Congress know what is going on. They're going to invest in Big Pharma. They're going to invest in any company that is creating war machines and planes and everything else. So they're all making a big bundle of money off of killing people. They're all psychopaths.
I know. And I think that right now, I think that everyone is basically going to be helping this agenda, no matter who's in the office, is going to be helping this agenda. And I just think that it's important to separate the wheat from the weeds, get this information out there. There's the petition to sign to get the Noahide laws removed. What's important is that this needs to be repealed by Congress. From what I know, I've spoken to many lawyers, this wouldn't go through the courts. It would go through Congress. You would get Congress to repeal it, though. If they refuse to, I don't know if you could take it to court then or what it would be. But let's see who's on our side and who's silent and, who just wants to push this under the rug. But I can tell you right now, I think that people in Congress are going, even when they come to fully understand this, they're going to be very hesitant to get that deeply involved in repealing it, because they think that they know that would cause them a lot of trouble.
Especially when many of their campaigns are funded by certain people. They're in office because of their belief system. They didn't. People who go to Congress are there because they've been paid to be there. They've been funded to be there, I believe. What is your feeling?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Many of the people that serve, quote unquote, in Congress have been funded by the very people we're talking about, or else they wouldn't be there. They have
yeah.
compromised their values to a point where they will accept money from anybody. And when you accept millions of dollars from somebody, then you're obligated to enact things that funder, that campaign funder, believes in. So they're paid. They're compromised.
Yeah, no, well, Chabad Lubavitch is very much involved in getting politicians in their hands. I mean, they do have lots of money. They're extremely well-networked. They're all around the world. They are very popular amongst Jewry. They're allowed to bring in a lot of votes, or able to bring in a lot of votes, able to bring in a lot of money. They have connections with other people, other groups, so they can get you friends with other people. So, I mean, they do have a degree of being kingmakers, yes. And they also, you know, I don't know how much of a split there really is between liberal Jewry and the Noahidist Jews. People, like, you know, the last caller called in and she said, well, I would think that most Jews are, you know, don't think like this. Most Jews, from my understanding, from what I've been doing this for 7 years now, and I've been doing it a lot, most Jews are not going to say anything. Even if they understand it, even if they know what's going on, they're not going to say anything. They're not going to do anything. And if you bring it to their attention, I think that they will find very serpentine ways to basically give you a reason why it's nothing to worry about, or why they're not going to get involved, or why they don't want these laws repealed or anything like that. I think that when it comes to, even though these laws are very conservative, when it comes to them and it comes to protecting the image of Jewry, I think that you're going to find that both liberal and conservative Jews are, the conservative Jews are the ones that are pushing it, but the liberal Jews are complicit by their silence.
Right. And I also think that they ghettoized themselves. They separated themselves from other people because their rabbis insisted that they remain Jewish. They not intermarry, they not dress like the Gentiles, that they just stay separate. And so I think that when you grow up in a system that demands obedience to certain policies, that you're not going to break from that no matter what, because you have family, you have certain obligations to stick with the group. And they are the one country that is not pushing multiculturalism. And it's very interesting that, of course, we all know about Barbara Lerner Specter, and she says that that Europe is going to have multiculturalism, whether they like it or not. And I was thinking about this, and I thought, and she said, and the Jews are going to be blamed for it, but they have a lot to do with implementing multiculturalism. And so I thought, okay, the reason that people leave their countries, their native lands, is because of warfare, famine, terrorism. And I'm thinking, okay, so is that the implementation that she's referring to? Because people are not going to just up and say, gosh, I think I'm going to leave Iraq. They did it because because the U.S. and its military and allies bombed the whole country to smithereens. They only had 4% of electricity. 500,000 children were killed because of sanctions. So it forces people to leave and go elsewhere. And so I'm thinking, okay, is that the way that they are implementing multiculturalism all over the world except in Israel? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that what they do a lot is the problem action solution. So what's very interesting is that they're... Oh, are we about to take a break?
Yes, we're going to take a break and then we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Xtendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Xtendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Xtendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Xtendivite may just be for you. Xtendivite is an all-natural supplement. Xtendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Xtendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, KosherTify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher-certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the KosherTified app can make a huge difference for your future.
All righty, we are back with our guest, and his name is Vincent Bruno. His websites are StopNoahideLaws.blogspot.com and StopNoahideLaw.com. Okay, we have about 3 minutes. What are some of your not final statements, but what are some of the things that you would like to impress upon our listeners?
If you want to learn more about what we talked about today about Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Christian Science, go to BeWiseAsSerpents.blogspot.com.
Oh, right.
And there's also, if you want to learn about Seventh-day Adventists and their anti-Freemasonry, go to buttharmlessasdoves.blogspot.com. So those are the two side points that we got into. But like you said, there's the website. Please sign the petition. We need to get this petition to Congress, and Congress needs to repeal these laws because we want to send a message. Now, my thing is that people often ask, well, when is this going to happen? Are we ready? I think some people might get a little bit alarmist. I think that they're in the preparation phase right now, but I think it's very important to push their hand, draw them out into the sunlight before they are ready, and make them stand accountable to this. They're going to have a lot of really good things about it. Well, it's not actually implemented. This doesn't mean anything. And you really have to be careful. Go through my website, both of them, to find how to argue about these laws. And
sign the petition.
Yes. Sign the petition. Send it to your congressperson. Please don't just sign it. Send it to your congressperson. Call your congressperson. Tell them to get involved. And, let's start. Really, we have to work together in order to get this into the mind of Congress to have this repealed.
Yes, because as you mentioned before, not everybody in Congress is aware of it. In fact,
no.
I'm pretty sure that there are some particularly new congressmen. I mean, they probably know that they are funded by certain people, but they are not aware of the ramifications of a real law that was passed because so few people signed that law into law. And they're ignorant of it. They know some enough to get elected, but I think it's important that we do sign the petition, and I posted the link in my chat room, and you can find that link at the website. It says sign the petition. There's a link there. Please do sign that petition. It's our future. It really is. Well, I would like to thank you very much for all of the work that you've done, all of the research that you've done. It's quite obvious that you've done hours upon hours and upon hours of research. And I appreciate you being willing to share that research with us because it's kind of a difficult subject and one that's hard to talk about. So thank you so much, Vincent.
Thank you.
All righty, take care. Bye-bye, listeners.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.